Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter, and I'm just so glad you're listening today, because if you've been listening these last few weeks, and especially these last 2 weeks, I've had my friend and my brother and my dear, dear, dear brother in Christ, Irv Philpott, in the studio with us talking about body, mind, and spirit. Thanks for coming back for a third show, Irv.
What a privilege to be here.
Oh, we're having the best time with this, and we're having a good time with it because we really believe in this.
Oh, this is a message we had to give, or the stones would cry out.
The stones would cry out. Let me just remind you before we get into the meat of today, which is going to be talking about our spirits and our body, mind, and spirit. 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. Just check out our website, www.721ministries.org. That's the numbers, 721ministries.org. We've got a Putting Green blog there that you'll see a lot of articles about what we're talking about here on the radio show. We've got video. Look at that, 721ministries.org, and you'll find out more about us. Okay, let's jump right back into it, or the body, mind, and spirit. And for the previous 2 weeks, we've been talking about how to be prepared, how to maximize those God-given talents, the gifts, so that we get that A-plus life that Jesus wants for you and for me. And just to make sure, when you're listening today, when we say the A-plus life, we're not talking about the life that can be achieved and rising to the top of our culture. That's what most of us think of when we think of the A-plus life as culture defines it. We're talking about walking in the light, walking in rhythm each day, learning the unforced rhythms of grace.
That's right.
Oh, okay. This really is where the spiritual rubber hits the spiritual road. This is, because just again, Irv, you reminded me before we started this series, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter, John, and James let him down.
That's right. You know, that moment when the Lord asked them to pray with him for just an hour, just to be there for an hour, but they weren't refreshed. They weren't refreshed of body.
So they fell asleep. And Jesus said, hey, listen, I know that you're...
Oh, yes. The spirit was willing. It was the flesh that was weak.
You see, so if you think you can separate body, mind, and spirit, if you think we're wrong about this, just go right back to Jesus' words. Your spirit might have been willing, but your body was weak, and therefore you couldn't do it. You could, and don't think Jesus doesn't ask you to pray with him at various times, even every day.
Oh, absolutely. We talk oftentimes that the ministry's in the interruptions.
It's in the interruptions.
Yes. You got to be ready for those.
And there are times, sadly, that I'm just too tired to stop and help that guy, to talk to him, to listen to her story. I'm just too tired. I don't have the energy for it.
Amen.
And what do you think it's going to be like if I'm standing in front of the Lord and he says, look, I ran that person by you that day. They needed to talk to you. And you copped out on me.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody that's going to be saying, you know, I just did too much while I was down there. It'll be, oh, I wish I'd done more.
Wish I'd have done more of the things.
Of eternal value.
That's right. Because we just get bogged down. And you know, and just think about Jesus, always resolute, purposeful and intentional, focused on what was important to him. He steps into that cross. He steps into it. He leads with his chin. He is not backing off. What if he just started getting close to that cross, to that Passion Week, and he just said, guys, you know what? I'm tired.
Yeah.
I've lost my energy level.
Yeah.
Let's blow off Jerusalem.
He set his face like flint on Jerusalem.
He was purposeful and intentional. Okay, you and I get together every week and we ask each other three questions. How are you doing physically? That's your body. How are you doing mentally? That's your mind. How are you doing spiritually? That's your spirit. And we know that if we don't do that, and if you don't do that, if you don't have that in your life, you will drift.
That's right. And we said before, we never drift into holiness. We drift into sin.
And you're a big advocate of how we use, I'd rather say how we utilize our time.
I'd even go one step further and say how we invest our time.
Okay, tease that out for me.
Well, again, you know, are you spending your time? Are you using your time? Are you killing your time? Are you killing time?
Mm-hmm.
Are you investing your time in those things that are God's priorities? Mm-hmm. Again, as we said each week, that relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. That relationship with that special person, a husband or wife, and then, of course, those dear, precious children that you have such a short time to manage. You know, is that where you're putting your time?
Investing versus spending.
Investing.
And let's don't forget our parents.
Oh, absolutely.
Some of us still have parents that are alive, and you think the ones that don't go, gosh, you know, I spent too much time with my parents when they were alive. I regret that.
It won't happen.
So we gotta keep reminding ourselves and you when you're listening that when you say yes to something, it means you're gonna say no. You're gonna have to say no to something else. So choose wisely. If you say your priorities are God, family, and inside that family is your spouse and then your children, your parents. If you say God, family, then my health, not work next, because work will suffer if the health isn't in there. If you say those are your priorities, then you must say yes to those each day. Because if you don't, then all the minutia that runs at us from the culture, all the business, all the phone calls that come in, you're going to end up saying no to the things that you will look back over your life and think, how is it that I didn't spend more time there?
That's right. And we talk all the time with men, you know, about the fact that at the end of your life, it won't be the business that you built or the chamber building that you built, or it'll be, you know, who loved you and who you loved.
Mm-hmm. And
that's what'll be important.
That's what'll be important. That's where your priorities are. And listen, we're not fire and brimstone kind of people, but let me just assure you, you do not want to stand before God Almighty on Judgment Day, your personal Judgment Day, and have him say, you know, the important things got done, Sam, and I was not important to you. And we'd say, no, that's not true. You were. I meant to spend time with you in the morning. I meant to focus more on you throughout the day. But you know, you God, come on, you could look at my house. You saw, I've got 7 children. I had to get off early. I work for myself. And he's just gonna say, stop.
Yeah, what we want to hear is, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've run the race. You've kept the faith.
I gave you 5 talents. You multiplied them to 10. I gave you 2. You doubled them. You didn't dig a hole and hide them. Well done. Instead of, no. You're a grown up. The important things got done in your life, and clearly I was not as important. And that's one thing that I want you to hear today. If you have children, especially, if you have a spouse, especially, if you have your parents, when you choose, when you say yes to things that don't fit into that list of priorities that you claim are your priorities, when you say yes to those things that don't fit in, you will in turn be forced to say no to your children, to your wife, your husband, your parents. And in essence, what they're hearing is, you're not as important to me as these other things.
That's right. And that will hurt.
We call it the slow boil because I think one of Satan's most effective weapons in his arsenal is just drifting. It's just drifting.
That's right. That's right. Again, we've said it over and we'll say it over and over again. Be focused and intentional with your most valuable commodity, your time.
And therefore, then, each day you are about refreshing your body, renewing your mind, and replenishing your spirit.
That's today.
Say it again, because we need to hear it
twice.
Yeah,
I mean, we can't say it enough. You know, seeking that A-plus life, living that life of integrity, that life of balance and soundness of body, mind, and spirit begins and ends with, this is sort of the nuts and bolts, refresh your body daily, renew your mind daily. And today we're talking about replenishing your spirit daily.
Mm. When God says we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away in Hebrews 2. See, that's the issue when it comes to it. And you know, I was talking to a friend just the other day, and as a matter of fact, it was day before yesterday, and he said, well, you know, I don't know exactly how it happened, but I think it went like this. I went on vacation. I came back and I was swamped when I came back. I twisted my ankle. I had to go to this. And the next thing you know, it's been 3 weeks. It's been 6 weeks. It's been 6 months, and I'm up 30 pounds. I didn't get to the gym. I can't believe if I'm honest with myself, it's been 6 months since I've had a quiet time. How did it happen? One thing led to another. The slow boil. And what we mean by the slow boil is, you know, and I assume this is true, but what I've always heard is if you take a frog and throw him into boiling water, he'll hop out. But if you put him in tepid water and slowly bring it up to a boil, he'll sit in there and boil to death. Now, whether that's true or not, it is indicative of our lives. All right, so when we come up on the second half of the show, what I want us to talk about is, how do we guard against this drifting that is so pervasive and so easy to slip into? How do we do that with respect to our spiritual lives and our spiritual growth?
How do we guard against the slow fade?
Yeah, how do we do that? It's accountability. And hit the highlights of that, and then we'll tease out the details in the second part of the show.
That's right. Well, I think that, you know, we talk about sort of a three-pronged attack here. Number one, first and foremost, is your quiet time.
Oh, we've already talked about that. That's, you know.
Oh, we're going to tease that out in a big way here in the second part of the show. The second part would be some sort of accountability, either one-on-one or maybe a group of three, very small, tight-knit group that you're accountable. Men or for the ladies, people, though, who are willing to hurt you, they're willing to ask you the tough questions. They're willing to hold you accountable. They love you that much. And then, of course, the third part being a corporate worship.
And corporate worship, does that just mean church?
Absolutely not. You know, it can mean a larger group. You know, I have a small group I meet with once a month, about anywhere from 8 to 12 men. It's getting together, though, and fellowship and worshiping together.
And remembering what Andy Stanley said, who and what you listen to influences what you do. And that's not just the TV and Internet and the cultural stuff. That's the people you hang around with.
Oh, goodness. I treasure that time. You know, I treasure our time once a week, and I treasure that time once a month with that group of men to hear them and to hear what they're going through. And we're living life together, and we're encouraging and lifting each other up to love and good works, as the Word tells us.
And that is enriching our spiritual lives. You know, you could sit on an island by yourself, and you could grow closer to the Lord, and His Holy Spirit could dwell in you, and you could absorb that in. But I got to tell you, in our culture, to have men or women around you that are like-minded, that are right, bringing you up to the top, that are lifting you up, not dragging you down, not being around those people who complain all the time, who are negative all the time, who are gossiping all the time, who have those, you know, I heard it put like this: small minds talk about people, average minds talk about events, large minds, the A+, large minds talk about ideas. When you talk about ideas that relate to what Jesus is doing in your life, what He wants, what you're reading in Scripture, that's what brings you up into the A+ life.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk more about it in the second half of the show. We're going to tease out what these three things look like: quiet time, that accountability time, one-on-one, and then that corporate. We'll be right back. Welcome back to 721 Live. This is Sam Hunter, and I've got Irv Philpott in the studio with us, and we're talking about body, mind, and spirit. And today we're talking about spirit, and we wanted to play that song. It's from Casting Crowns, Slow Fade, from the movie Fireproof. And if you've seen that movie, you'll see that what they're talking about in this particular song is the woman, as she starts to kind of like that guy that's kind of paying her a little more attention than her husband. Of course, the husband has slow faded away through all of his focus on work. The things that he would not say were a priority became a priority.
That's right, because of the drift.
Because he drifted.
He drifted. Satan's most powerful tool in the arsenal. Drifting.
He didn't say yes to his wife. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, he had said no to her.
That's right.
And that's what happens to us. And so today, as we finish up this series on body, mind, and spirit, let me just tell you again, let me just emphasize it. You cannot separate your body and your mind and your spirit. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane to Peter and James and John when they fell asleep, "I know your spirit's willing, but your body's weak." Mm-hmm. You didn't refresh your body.
That's right. Renew your mind, and today, replenish your spirit.
Replenish your spirit. So let's pick right back up there. How do we guard against this drifting? How do we replenish our spirit? How do we be sure, purposeful and intentional about that, Irv?
Love Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to put on the full armor of God. And that begins, we said, in this three-part process. Number one, the top of your pyramid is quiet time alone with the Lord. Again, we recommend in the morning, as the Lord models for us in Scripture, that you take that time. Of course, we've challenged, how many men have we challenged to start with 7 minutes? And how many men have come back to us and told us, "I'm up to 20? And how many men have said, "How could I spend less than an hour of quiet time with my Lord every day? How could I even think about that?"
You know, we had a man in the Spartanburg lunch, 75-year-old man, wonderful guy. He came up to me after one of the lunches and he said, I've been listening to what you said about that quiet time, and for the last 6 months I've been doing it. He said, it's changed my life. So I asked him if he would just share with the men the next week what he meant by that. And he stood up and said, and by all accounts, this guy, and I know him, and everybody would tell you, he's one of the nicest guys in all of Spartanburg. He has done so much for the community. And he stood up, and in about 4 or 5 minutes, he so succinctly said, I have been the goodest guy. I have done the goodest things. I have been the goodest guy in church, in the community, and with children, family, every aspect of this community. I have been really, really good, and I missed it. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I started that quiet time in the morning that the Lord spoke to me, opened up my eyes, and I saw that I had missed it.
Yeah. Chuck Swindoll, I think, said that I know of no spiritually successful men that do not have a quiet time in the morning.
And somebody else also went on to say, and I know no spiritual giants that didn't have it in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may say, well, I'll do it at night. Like, if you saw my house, if you saw what I have to do in the morning. No, it ain't going to work at night. You may be one out of a million. No, I'm not even going to give you that. It will not work at night. You've got to do it in the morning. And let's just, nuts and bolts, don't turn your TV on.
Oh, no.
Don't go get the paper. Anything you do before your quiet time is going to distract you.
Distract.
Open up. What does your quiet time look like?
Well, I think it's you know, and you can model that differently, but I think that it starts mine with prayer, you know, and I begin to just ask the Lord to open my mind up, and then I got to hit this, and I want to hit it hard, and if you don't hear anything else, it is the Bible.
Mm.
It's God's words. There's no substitute for it, and I'm talking about every day. Mm. I have a wonderful devotional that I do with Oswald Chambers, but it's Scripture. You know, again, the Lord, it is more relevant than that newspaper.
Mm.
How can we say, I just don't have 10 minutes to read a chapter of Scripture, but yet we can dwell on the sports page?
Well, we'll spend 10 minutes in the paper. We'll spend 10 minutes watching the news shows. And you know, it's not about how much you can read. It's not about how fast you can read. As a matter of fact, in the last few months, I've been reading one chapter. And then the next day, I'll come back and read half of that chapter. I'll read that whole chapter again, and I'll read half of the next chapter. Then the next day, I come back and finish that chapter that I only read half of. I'll go back and finish, read that whole chapter again, and then go for it. And I'm slow. Matter of fact, I'm crawling through it.
Hmm.
And I'm saying, Lord, speak to me. I'm here. I believe this is your word.
That's right. And again, the Bible, we have to remember, is truth for all people in all places at all times. You know, you got to get in mind into that. Read it, memorize it, meditate upon it. We cannot emphasize enough that if you want a changed heart, if you want to be transformed, if you want your character changed, God does that most through His Word. It is His Word to you, and it will change your heart.
It will change your heart. It will light up. Sometimes when I'm recommending someone, urging someone to start, and they say, I will, what do I do? And I say, just when you start, go ahead and start in the Gospel of John.
Mm-hmm.
And read through it slowly. Slowly. We are not in a hurry. Imagine the setting. Just picture yourself as one of Jesus' disciples watching Him interact. Imagine that you might be the person He's interacting with. Slow down. Don't read it like we read a novel. Imagine what's going on. Think about what Jesus is saying to them and what He's saying to you.
Right. You might ask those four questions you and I have talked about. You know, what does it say? Why is it here in the Bible? What does it mean for me today? And then how do I remember it?
Mm.
If you can process through those four questions.
You might not get five verses. And let me just throw this out, and I don't mean to burst anybody's bubble, but read a Bible in a year. Put that thing away. Because would you read a novel that way? Would you pick a part at the beginning and the middle? And, you know, these read a Bible in a year things. And I read the Bible in a year twice. And I was lost as a goose. Didn't know Jesus from if he flew in with a Superman's cape on his back. But I read it twice, and I could tell people I read the Bible twice. No, slow down. We're not in a hurry. You could stay in John the rest of your life, but John, then go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Old Testament's wonderful. Spend time there, but I think if you're just getting started or if you're coming back to that habit of reading, stay in that New Testament for a little while and just let Jesus speak to you. You can move right on back to the Old Testament. Plenty of time for that. All right, so you start off with some praying, then you got your devotional, then your Scripture, and then
I'm going to close it up with prayer. And I think it's real important in that prayer to to pray through your day, to start in the morning, to go through what you're going to be facing that day, and then to pray sort of what we call in concentric circles. You know, pray for your relationship with that special spouse of yours, with those children, with that extended family and friends and so forth. Mm-hmm. It'll set the compass for the day.
You know, there have been times in my life when I've done it sort of like those concentric circles you're talking about. I'll pray. The first circle will be Greenville, and then the next circle reaches out to Spartanburg, mm-hmm. and maybe down to Atlanta. Then the next one goes to Columbia, mm-hmm. and then it branches out to Charleston, and I let, it's like a big circle, and I try to bring in, if I go to Charleston, maybe it's Asheville and and I just try to walk through the people, and I'll say, Lord, put on my heart, help me here. I mean, let me know who you want me to pray about, and God just opens it up when you take that time in the morning to spend with Him
and listen for His voice.
Listen, mm. be still, and know that I am God.
Mm.
Okay, so that's quiet time in the morning. Then weekly, one-on-one, maybe three.
Yeah, you and I, we've talked about that a number of times throughout the programs here, but at least once a week, you need to get alone with that person again who loves you enough to ask you the tough questions, mm-hmm. who's going to keep you accountable. You and I, we oftentimes say, I need you to keep me focused on this mm-hmm. this next month. I want you to ask me this every Wednesday, even though I don't want to hear it,
yeah.
but I want you to ask me. And that is critical. That is putting on the full armor of the Lord.
And that really is one-on-one or three max. And that this what we're talking about right now is that accountability, that's one-on-one or you know, two people or three people max. And, you know, I did that for several years with my great friends Neil and Lindsay, and it changed our lives throughout that time. Mm-hmm. Then there's corporate worship.
Mm-hmm.
And that means we just show up at church on Sunday morning, right? And we go through all the stuff we're supposed to do, and then we've done our duty.
Not at all. You know better than that. You know, I absolutely love the time that we have at our church as a family and with the church family. And we go there with our focus on worshiping the Lord. And again, the music helps us, those emotions come along. But the focus is worshiping Him. I encourage everyone that if you're not taking notes during the sermon, if you're not writing something down, you're not really listening.
Mm.
And I think that's critical to be being fed wherever that is, and that you're again as the father of the home that you're making sure your family's being fed.
Mm.
Critical.
And, you know, there may be a time, and I've had this happen because I'm so smart and I know everything about everything, that I've said, I'm not going to get anything out of this sermon. And then I just step back and I say, Lord, speak to my heart.
Mm.
And I do. Okay, so quiet time, that's just you. One. Mm. One on, it's not a group hug here, it's one-on-one with the Lord. Then there's the
personal relationship.
Then there's the accountability during the week, maybe an hour with one other person, two other people max. Then there's Sunday morning. Is there more?
Well, I think, again, you can have even a small group. Of course, you know, we at 721 offer to men lunches on, you know, during the week. Mm. And my goodness, that's church.
And those men say, this is when I fill up. This is when I replenish mm-hmm. my spirit in the middle of the week. I got to get filled up. But, you know, if you're listening to that, you might be going, oh, come on. When am I supposed to work? For crying out loud. I mean, what? You're looking at well, let's break it down. Are you telling me that you don't have an hour? I'm saying an hour, but let's just go back to 15 minutes or 30 minutes. You don't have that in the morning that you could carve that time out? You don't have an hour at some point during the week that you could spend with one other person one-on-one? You don't have another hour somewhere during the week where there's more of a small group type setting? If you don't have that time,
you need to start saying no to some good things.
Because you can't say yes to these important things.
That's right.
And if you don't have that time, you're flying upside down.
And if you're saying you don't have time to spend time with your heavenly Father, you know, creator of heaven and earth and everything there is, who you'll be spending eternity with, listen, you may be flying upside down.
And I'd ask you the question, the real hard question, if you say you don't have the time, then I'd say, do you really want to make the time? to do this. It kind of goes back to this time with our children and time with our families. You say, I cannot possibly run my own business and spend the amount of time you're talking about with my family. And I would say there's a pretty good chance you really don't even want to.
Right.
You'd rather be at work.
And I guess, you know, we're doing that challenge. Try it for a week. Try it for 21 days. If you take that time in the morning and watch how the day opens up for you, you won't believe it.
Now, you know, it occurs to me because I work in ministry now. My job is ministry. And I talk with my friends here, and producer Isaac, and his job is ministry. That's not getting it done if you say, well, I'm working in ministry. That's not it. It's that one-on-one time. Mm-hmm. It's pulling away with one other person. Mm-hmm. We're about to run out of time, Irv. This has been great. Body, mind, and spirit. Body, mind, and spirit. Each day, we need to
refresh your body, renew your mind, replenish your spirit every day.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That's what God says to us. Check out our website, 721ministries.org. Go to the Putting Green. You'll see articles about what Irv and I are talking about. You'll find past radio shows. Thanks, Irv. So long. God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.